my name is Sam Clements, and welcome to the Picture House Podcast. This is a mini edition of the show where my esteemed colleague Sarah Cook talks to legendary filmmaker Robert Zemeckis, the great man, the director of Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Back to the Future, to talk about his brand new film, Welcome to Marwen, starring Steve Carell, which is in cinemas right now. She had such a good time watching the film and sounds like such a great chat. So without further ado, I will pass over to Sarah and Robert for a nice chat about Welcome to Marwen in Picture House Cinemas right now.
So how are you today? How are you excited about bringing Welcome to Marwen to London? And
yeah, it's great. Yeah, very exciting.
Very marvellous film and very touching and heartfelt.
It's oh, thank you so much.
Great piece of work. And what drew you to this story?
I loved the idea that I saw in the documentary when I saw the film the first time, the documentary film the first time. I loved the idea of this notion of the healing power of art, and that our hero is compelled to create these photographs and to help process this trauma that he went through. I thought that was, I could identify with that, and I thought it was a very powerful and hopeful story.
Did you work with him closely, the real Mark?
I used basically the documentary as sort of the bullet points for the story. But then obviously afterwards, you know, obviously showing Mark the script and showing him, you know, what the movie was going to look like, you know. But, you know, Mark was very respectful of the process and didn't want to be around too much to, you know. He understood that it was a fictionalized version of what was going on, more than it being a absolute, you know, another documentary, if you will.
As you developed his story, at what point did you want to reenact the doll scenes and bring them to life?
Well, I also thought, you know, that was the other thing that really intrigued me, because then I thought that's how this whole story could transcend into a movie, because what I could do in the movie, which I loved, were these elaborate stories that were in, you know, Mark's imagination, to say, okay, we can do something that only a movie can do. We can bring that to life. And that intrigued me, you know, immensely. And I think that's what makes this into a movie, rather than it just being a documentary or a story or a newspaper article.
Absolutely. It just gives a different edge to it, rather than just a kind of biographical film. And how tricky was it to make those dolls look like dolls and yet still like Steve Carell?
It was a bit of a process. You know, I mean, it took a lot of R&D. We worked really hard on it. You know, what I wanted to do, and I wanted to maintain, you know, very much the essence of the actor who's playing the character and make sure that their emotional performance came through, yet they had to look like dolls. But I want to make sure that the audience was feeling the actor. So it was a lot of, like I said, testing that we did to make sure that we got that right.
You talk a lot about the actor, and Steve Carell does a phenomenal performance here.
Yeah.
Why did you go to him to play this character?
Oh, well, for exactly that reason. I mean, here, you know, Steve is a magnificent comedic actor, and he's a brilliant and, you know, immensely talented dramatic actor. And I think what I sensed from the beginning for the movie was I needed someone who could do both, so that he could use his comedy skills to present the performance for the doll, and then, you know, use all that, you know, those dramatic, you know, chops that he has to bring the, you know, the fragile, damaged, emotional parts to the human character.
I love the women, the saviors of the world.
The saviors of the world.
Such a great kind of tagline for females and women everywhere.
Right.
Selecting those particular women, because they're different looks. They've got different energies and different, like, bring so much to the stories and his character.
Right. Yeah, and that again is a germ of the idea that came from the real life Mark story that we expanded and ran with, is this idea that the women were his guardians and protectors, and, you know, they looked out for him, which was very much, you know, a lot that happened in Mark's real life as well. But the fact that he honored them by putting creating an alter ego of these of these women who were so important in his life, and then put them, you know, and they populated his town. And, yeah, you know, I thought that was just always a wonderfully, you know, sweet idea.
Absolutely. And they treat him with such empathy in a story that has his so much of his there's so much difference in his character. He's such a different person. Mm-hmm. And it would have been easy for people to shun him, but these women treated him with so much empathy,
yeah,
and understood him. So like Roberta buys him the espadrilles and, right, and the shoes. And,
exactly.
And, you know, and someone who, Nicole comes in and completely understands Marwyn and doesn't judge him for
it. They don't judge him. I know. That's, but you know, I think that's, and that it's kind of the way women are, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah. They're much like more that. Understanding.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I quite like the use of why he's drawn to the shoes, because it's the essence of the dame.
Exactly. Well, that's what you know, the Hoagie character says, and he's from a different time.
Yeah.
So he uses that term, you know, but he's from the 1940s.
Yeah.
Right.
It still holds up.
Yep.
Because what I enjoy about this is that they have so different characters, especially with Nicole, because obviously, mm-hmm, Nicole's new to this, and she finds out that she's a completely different character in Marwyn.
Right.
How is it developing the two different, because Nicole, the human Nicole, is different, right, than the doll Nicole.
Well, that's what's fascinating. I cannot tell you how you know, the fact that you understood that in the movie, because to me that was one of the really important things that I wanted to do in the movie, which I thought was kind of what we can do in art. And I use that word loosely, but in the case of Mark, it's this kind of photographic world that he creates. But what I really wanted to do is say, okay, well, we have the real life characters of Mark and Nicole, and then the doll characters of Hoagie and Nicole. And in the real life, in the doll world, it's kind of this fairy tale love story that's coming from Mark's imagination. But in the real world, it's this kind of sad, unrequited story, you know.
I do. I mean, I love Nicole because I'm a big tea fiend. So,
oh, are you?
Yeah, I have a whole tea cupboard and the tea house. I was like, I want that tea house, the kettle,
yeah,
teapot shaped tea house.
Right, and then, you know, but then again, that's Mark's imagination of, you know, I mean, the fact that he, you know, builds his Nicole doll a tea house that looks like a teapot is just like so sweet.
I mean, the film does bring in, on a more serious note, brings in a lot of different elements of therapy. Like you said, the dolls, mm-hmm, work for his therapy, but then, right, he's got a carer, and then he has, obviously,
Deja Thoris,
who's based, right, on the pills, right, that he takes, right, and he, right, gets addicted, yep, to. How does that work? How are you making a comment on therapy and how different?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not an expert on any of it, but I do think, here's what I think. I think that art, all types of art, whether you're someone who specializes in brewing tea or baking cupcakes or singing in the church choir, whatever anyone does as a creative outlet, that art in whatever form it takes is important to everybody, because what it does is it gives us a forum to try to understand things that are extremely complicated. And I think that's what art does. So all of art, in my opinion, is a form of therapy, because we use it to simplify things, to sort things out. And I think that it might be, in my humble opinion, it might be the ultimate therapy, really.
And I think there's a good timeless message here that kind of works in this day and age, because a lot of elements of different people are being attacked for being different again.
Yes. Yeah, that's sad, isn't it? Yeah.
Very sad. And, you know, Nazis are on the rise again, and it's
unbelievable.
So are you kind of hoping, I know it's probably not what you went in intending, that people watch this movie and understand the effects,
right,
of that kind of bullying and that kind of assault, and, mm-hmm, and how we should just accept people who,
yeah,
who are just different from us.
Exactly. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, it's obviously unbelievable. I find that it's unbelievable that we're here in the year 2018 talking about this. but it is what it is. You know, and as far as the movie, I had no idea. I mean, you know, we had that right when we were in the middle of shooting the movie, we had that neo-Nazi uprising thing happening in Charlottesville in the United States, right in the middle of when we were shooting the movie. It was kind of unbelievable that, you know, I never did I think way back in 2010 when I started, you know, the idea of making this movie that I think I was going to be tearing anything from today's headlines.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but there you go.
I think I might, this is a bit of a spoiler, so it might not right. make the podcast, but I do like the fact that you make them really weak and they're in tears in the final courtroom scene because they are just pathetic men.
They're
really
pathetic, yeah. I know. And
miserable.
They're just pathetic.
Nothing to be scared of. They're just
that whole bullying thing and that intolerance is all ultimately a fear-based emotion, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And why do you think Mark gravitates towards World War II? Is it just because of the Nazi reference?
There are two reasons. One, that he was, you know, he was an illustrator and he was illustrating World War II graphic novels. And then he got attacked and he couldn't draw anymore. So when he decided that he was going to have to process this trauma through the staging of these scenes with these dolls. I mean, he went to the local hobby shop and the high-end action figures are Nazi officers. That's what they are. That's in the world of action figures, there are more Nazis than anyone else. And so then he took those and started to use them as these villains in his imaginary world. And so they've always made, you know, perfect villains.
Yeah. And do you think, because in a lot of classic war films, the hero is always gung-ho. He's always, you know, charging in like Hoagie is, kind of like unafraid.
Right. Well, while making the movie, I figured that, you know, Mark is of the same generation that I am. And that his idea of how he would see scenes of imaginary World War II unfolding in his mind's eye would probably be from all he ever knew, which were war movies. And so they were always kind of like action war. They were like a little bit stylized and glorified, and that's how he would see it. And that's sort of how I presented it in the film.
There's a wonderful score here. Again, with the wonderful Alan Silvestri. How is that? That friendship's been going on for years.
Yeah, that's a real creative soulmate situation between me and Alan because, he's sort of my creative touchstone. I've collaborated with him on every film since Romancing the Stone. He's the first person that I show the movie to when I rough the cut in. He doesn't see any dailies or anything, and then I show him the movie and then we talk. So he's like the guy who always sets me straight.
It's wonderful, nice little charming, brings a good charm to it.
He's a fantastic composer. I mean, he does beautiful work.
I mean, the other thing I wanted to ask is casting your wife.
Yes. Yes, Leslie.
How'd that come about?
I thought she'd be perfect. I just cast her because I thought she'd be great. You know, she's a great actress, and this is the kind of role that she would relish. And, you know, I'm very proud of the work that she did.
They're all great performers.
Yeah, they're great, and they're all different. And they all have their own kind of, in their little moments in the movie, they really, you know, they pop out. And, you know, they're very, very distinctive.
Yeah, and I love this Roberta and her, she accepts him completely and just tries to whittle him little by little to come out of his shell.
Yeah. Yeah. She's very gentle with him. Yeah, I know. I mean, and Merritt is such a fabulous actress, and she's just so natural and wonderful. She's great. Great at what she does. Yeah.
I think that's a really good look at PTSD here and how I think the most emotional scene for me is when it feels like gunfire to him. Yeah. He's having the flashbacks. And yep. did you work closely with anyone who does suffer from PTSD, or did you just?
No, I didn't. But I just kind of assume, you know, that I wish I had a real, you know, profound clinical answer for you, but yeah. I just kind of based it on what I, in the earliest, all they knew about PTSD back in the days of, say, World War II, were that they used the word shell-shocked, you know? I mean, yeah. Yeah, you know, these guys came back from the war and they were shell-shocked, and you know, they would jump at loud explosions or door slams and things like that. And I just took that and ran with it. And I said, yeah. You know, well, maybe this is how he would experience PTSD, is that his world would just, you know, explode into mayhem and, you know, and action and violence, you know.
Yeah, and it's just really beautifully put together and well done. And moving on from Welcome to Marwen, there's a lot of good projects coming up. And, you know, what's next for you?
I don't know exactly. I mean, I've got a lot of things that I'm developing. I mean, I'm developing two things that I'm excited about. One, I'm developing an adaptation of the Roald Dahl book, Witches, and I'm working on a project about the Hawaiian King Kamehameha that I want to do with Dwayne Johnson. Both are, again, very different and very, you know, very, couldn't be more different from each other. but they're both exciting. Yeah.
Wow. Can't wait to see them. So yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk.
I appreciate it. Thank you.